The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach Mark Trestman, the coaching staff, and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by Bridgestone, Miller Lite, and North Shore University Health System. Now, from Palace Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And good to be with you tonight. Bears are 3-3 after taking down the Falcons in Atlanta, 27-13 yesterday at the Georgia Dome. A complete win, a four-quarter win, and big plays across the board in each phase, giving the Bears a much-needed victory. And we'll discuss it tonight here on the Bears Coaches Show at the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Hallis Hall. Head Coach Mark Trestman, Jeff Joniak with you until 7:30 tonight. Good evening, Mark. How you feeling?
Jeff, great to be with you.
Hey, what did it mean to your team and your coaching staff to win how you did? Not just that you did, but how you did.
Well, I think that our players really enjoyed, our coaches enjoyed the process of how this all unfolded from the time we left the locker room a week ago in Carolina till the locker room in Atlanta. A lot of positive things happened. The guys, coaches went back to work, put great game plans together. Players came in on Wednesday. As I've said time again, is you don't know when we practice whether we won or lost. These guys, work their tails off. They practice fast. They're very attentive in meetings. They're very coachable. And we had probably our best week of collective practice between special teams, defensively and offensively, having everybody in the skilled players, the receivers, tight ends, and backs, everybody healthy. We probably had our fastest practice offensively, and I think Aaron alluded to that earlier in the week. So, we appreciate winning it. Winning one game in the National Football League is very, very hard, and we talk about that all the time, how much we got to take the time to appreciate it. But, we're going to be back. We're back to work today with coaches, and the players will be in Wednesday, and we start the season over on Wednesday.
You brought up many times last week about the practice. You were genuinely excited about it, but you also qualified it by saying, hey, it guarantees nothing. But as a head coach, and you've been in the league, and you've been coaching your whole life, do you get a good vibe? Do you have a gut based on what you see behind closed doors? Do you have a gut?
No.
You really don't.
Yeah, you've been down the road so many times that you never really know, because so much can happen. On you still have to be ready to play the game. There's that buffer between Friday after practice and those 48 hours that, as an NFL player, you've got to get yourself ready. And it's really up to you to do that, to have accountability, to do your job, to be in the right place, and to be emotionally ready to do that. And you always take the glass half full approach that we think we are, particularly when we have great practices like we did, but you never really know. You still got to put it all in play, and you got to do it on Sunday. And our guys did that, and they did it collectively.
Was there anything that happened in the game in any phase that was an eye opener to you?
The eye opener probably was the way our young linebackers played. Not just they played hard and fast and physical, but they were assignment correct in most cases. And to do both in a very, very highly competitive game, there was really, somewhat of a playoff atmosphere in that building yesterday because of the intent of both teams. Both teams had come off very difficult losses, and the game was extremely meaningful, as they all are. But when adversity meets adversity on the next Sunday, there's always just a little bit more intensity.
Well, that group, and get to know their names, because they deserve it, the attention they get for this performance. Kasim Green, after coach's review of tape today, 11 tackles combined, 10 for Darrell Sharpton, your middle linebacker yesterday, and the defensive signal caller, 6 for Christian Jones. So that adds up to 27, the top three tacklers in the game, 3 quarterback pressures combined, and a couple of pass breaks up as well. But that only gives you the math on how they played. I thought from the first snap when Sharpton comes clean on a blitz, didn't get there but caused the quarterback to move off his spot, and it was a run play of 14 yards, pardon me. But it was his aggressive nature with which he came after the quarterback repeatedly, and the hits by these three guys, they left the tone. It set the tone for the day.
They certainly did. We did an excellent job stopping the run early. They averaged 3.2 yards per carry, as you already know. And that put us in position where we allowed our pass rushers to go to work, and that really made a difference in the game.
All right, you got them in some third and long, which is an entree to talking about the Georgia Dome, because Tom and I really gave a attaboy to the fans that traveled. And I don't know, it's a big building. There could have been 15,000 in there, I don't know, but they sounded like 50,000. And I'm not exaggerating. You heard it on the broadcast. We played it up big. We had it cranked up. They genuinely caused the Falcons to do things they ordinarily wouldn't be doing in their own building. And when you see your defensive players waving to the fans like they're at a home game to crank up the noise, I think it was a unique moment.
Yeah, those, you know, we refer to those timeouts as little diamonds. You know, they're zirconium, you know, early, but they're very valuable at the end of the game. And when you can force a team to use them early on, it becomes a factor at the end of the game, end of the half.
And it just, I think it rattles a home team. They don't expect that. I mean, depending on where you're at, you know, it happened in Dallas a couple years ago, too. The Cowboys have such a big building. You're going to get locals from your team coming in, and the Bears travel well. You know, you have a pretty good idea when you show up at the hotel what you might be getting on Sunday.
You know, there were times where the officials called, you know, whether it was the penalty, and I didn't know whether it was on them or us, because there was one time where it was on us, and I thought it was on them, you know, and it went back and forth, so it was interesting. Yeah. Very, very, very valuable and helpful to our football team, and it got us excited and kept our intensity up.
Crazy for the Falcons to need to call a timeout in that situation with a Bears influence there. All right, there's so much to discuss. Let's go a little bit deeper into the linebackers. So people want to know, he's almost a folk hero in one game, Darrell Sharpton. I mean, people know the last name. They don't know if they know the first name. He's been around. It's not like he's a kid rookie. He started 19 games down in Houston for Reggie Herring when he was down there with the Texans. But the guy definitely plays with his hair on fire. He's flying all over the place.
He is. I wish I could tell you more about him, but I haven't had a chance to meet him.
Honestly?
No.
Of course
we have.
Yeah,
we had a chance to talk, and he's
But you don't know him.
You don't know him, and, you know, obviously Reggie's got that relationship with him. That certainly helped, and Reggie knows how to coach him. He's obviously a very bright young man, and he took everything that, you know, we prepared him to do, and Reggie and Mel prepared him to do, and he took it to the game, and, you know, really made a difference.
And systems are all different, and knowing what your defense is doing week in and week out since the offseason program, and yet he's the guy calling your defensive signals. Why the trust there? Is it just the work he did with Reggie and the trust that he had in him? Because he did it in Houston. So was that a natural?
I think it is. And you know, because he was with Reggie, Reggie's able to translate the information to him the way he did know it and the way he has to know it now. And, you know, just overall credit to Mel and Reggie, the whole defensive staff for just you know, getting back to work. Guys played well enough against Carolina. We played well in Carolina, then a couple of drives, and just took it to the next week. We didn't look back, and you know, we focused on going out there as a team together and winning a football game. We were able to put it all together.
Fakes, sets to throw, looking long, going for Alshon Jeffrey, deep ball, he's got it inside the 25, stays on his feet, inside the 10, dragged down near the 6.
All right, believe it or not, for the third consecutive week, and I picked these highlights, so I've gone with Alshon Jeffrey as the central figure in the play of the game, brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears. Welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show here at the Chicago Bears Network Studios. Jeff Joniak and head coach Mark Trestman. That point, game's tied, third quarter, big play, opens it up, Matt Forte, next snap, six-yard touchdown on the well-executed trap, and you're back in front. To me, that big play changed the vibe of the game, if nothing else. If you want to say momentum, I just felt it was a big play, a big one. What do you feel?
Well, it was a big play. It got us, you know, we were backed up. It completely flipped the field. It gave us a little juice, a little, I want to say they had a couple of scores prior to that, and we had to find a way to get back in the game, and we did.
And Alshon, along with Brandon and Matt, I always want to throw Martellus in there, but those three guys, they had the bulk of the total offense, with obviously some big plays as well from Martellus, especially some very tough runs after the catch. He seems hell-bent on being the after-the-catch leader. He's got a ways to go, but he's making him pay, that's for sure. But just some really explosive plays five of those plays counted for 197 of Jay's passing yards. So it opened up. His yards per pass attempt went way up. That was big.
Yeah, we took a few more shots yesterday, and we really only hit one big one. But the ones we threw really helped open up the field for the rest of the game, and it does have a residual effect on the back end of any defense when they know you're going to take your shots. And that'll open up some things intermediate-wise and short-wise that'll enable us to, you know, continue to attack the entire field.
It's funny to me because you say you only hit one big one. What's your definition of big then? You're talking about the bomb, or you're talking about can a guy go?
Yeah, I'm not talking about the short thrower or the Brandon Marshall first catches.
Those are pretty big too.
No, they are. I just think that when you go deep where the ball is thrown a long way in the air, I would say it's that.
Yeah.
You're not going to hit them all. You hope to hit one and maybe get a PI. You know, along the way, but the residual impact of the back end of any defense knowing that you could do that, you know, can really help you down the road.
What'd you think of the safeties early in the game, especially the Falcons? They played them really close to the line. They didn't drop back deep at all. What was their intention by doing that, and how did that challenge you at all in any way, or did it?
Well, I think what they did is they started them low and moved them around, either going to one high or two high. But they didn't want to give Jay an immediate look on what the coverage is going to be. So they did a good job of disguising and mixing things up and made for us we really just called plays and with the idea that the plays we called would attack the coverages certain ways, and we'd have opportunities with whatever receiver was in the weak side of that coverage to get a completion. Jay did a great job with that.
If you want to slap the word control, I think that would be a fair way to describe Jay's complete command of that game, controlled it.
Yeah, he did. I mean, his demeanor was great. He was, and it's been very good throughout the season, quite frankly. But some of the things he did, he took a couple shots, got back up, but was in complete command of the offense throughout the game.
Pass rush got cranked up, and that's that beautiful thing about a fourth quarter lead that allows you to really let them loose. And it was solid the whole game. I mean, it was really the blitz, and it, clearly your intention was to make Matt Ryan be aware that we're coming after you.
We did. The idea is always to try to stop the run early, get him to third and longs, and that's exactly what happened early in the game. I think we had three or four stops on third and long, which really, really helped the momentum for our football team. I think the biggest disappointment along the way was just at the end of the game. We would have wanted to finish the game running the football. We didn't get a first down on the last drive before we turned it over to them with about 8 minutes left in the game, and it would have been good to take a couple more minutes off the clock. We had gotten their timeouts down, and that would have been with Matt Ryan, you just never know. You give him 8 minutes and two scores, and in that dome, anything can happen. So you know, we've got to be mindful of that, and as with everything, we're going to go back and make corrections and continue to coach these guys up. It's never over in that regard.
Yeah, Matt Ryan, 25 career comeback. So he burned the Bears twice, one in 08, one in 09 with Mike Smith as head coach there. The DBs also benefited from that pressure. Again, you know, marry it together and you get a lot of good things. But, what you're looking to do against a Julio Jones and a Roddy White is hope they don't kill you. They're going to get catches, but they didn't get many, and they had a hard time with your corners and DBs and at times your linebackers dropping in there.
And we put them on a long field, and, you know, that's a credit to, I always say, continuity football. Pat punted the ball well. You know, we had some extended drives offensively that even if we didn't continue drives, we were able to punt it out and really only gave Devin a couple of shots to maybe return, and we worked hard in understanding why the offense and defense side of the ball is so critical in helping our special teams and preventing a guy like Devin from making a big play. So it was, as I said, a lot of good things in all three phases.
Right. I kept punching the continuity thing on the radio because there were, and it was true, because in all phases, whether it's a punt that drives them back and you get a three and out and then you take advantage of that and you score, that's by definition what you want several times a game.
Yeah. I mean, I really work every day at some point and out every day to try to explain to our team why everything they do in their segment at their position is connected to everything else on the football team. And there's always good examples of that each and every week. And our guys need to be mindful of that, and because you really do win as a team. And that's something that's universal throughout football and throughout sports, but it really is true.
Now, more of the Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Garza sends it back. They run it to Matt Forte. Blockers in front. He explodes to the goal line and into the end zone. Matt Forte's in. Touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. Well-designed front wall led the way and paved the way for Matt to get in from a nine-yard touchdown run. Bears are up 25-13.
And then a two-pointer to finish the job. Matt Forte, the player of the game, brought to you by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. Here with Mark Trestman at Halas Hall, the Bears broadcasting facility. Right. The executive producer of this here program is very upset with me for having said that. It's the Chicago Bears Network Studios. He just eyeballed me, Greg Miller. I know, it's very easy, but I didn't say it right. But anyway, we're glad you're here until 7:30 tonight. Let's talk about that play. We're both running plays, the same trap plays for Matt Forte. Okay. And can you explain them a little bit more in detail and how they... And why in those situations? This one was the second touchdown.
Well, the second one, as I said early today, you know, we were pushed back. We had Elshon, I believe. We had the penalty there, pushed back. We got the throw into Marty. They were playing big coverage down there, taking the end zone away. It's third and nine, and we've got to come up with some points. Very difficult to throw the football. Very difficult with the way they were playing. Their backers were on the goal line. They had a... I called a picket fence. They had backers on the goal line, safeties behind the backers in the end zone. I gave Jay a call that to run the football if they happen to blitz or give us a coverage that he felt he could get to that pass and get a one-on-one, we would take it. They stayed in a shell. Kyle pulled. Garza, Slauson, Mills all got into the secondary, all locked into players. Defenders, receivers got up the field, and Matt made a nice run at the to get through the line of scrimmage initially and finish the play in the end zone. It was a very well executed play by our guys.
Another big day for Matt, now the NFL reception leader, believe it or not. How about that?
I don't want to know about those stats. talk about stats till the end of the season.
That's fine, but it's just he moved past Julio Jones. But more importantly, and here's a stat, and a credit to his durability, frankly. The 20th player in NFL history to 7,000 rushing yards and 3,000 receiving yards. But the interesting element of it, he's tied with Marshall Faulk for the second fastest to do it in history behind Thurman Thomas. So a tip of the cap to Matt. We got a feature coming up with Matt this week on our Bears Game Day live show. Just a really productive individual all the way around and cares about it a great deal because he prepares himself for it.
Yeah, to share with our fans, what the people don't see is his consistent demeanor and professional demeanor every single day. He's been the same guy every day since I got here. Completely team-oriented, has great leadership skills and communication skills with players, does it very quietly, but just an awesome guy to be around. And he doesn't say much, but he's out there every day, leading the way.
All right, who's on the watch list injury-wise this week? We got Bushrod, obviously. We'll look at Chris Conte again.
It's a cast of thousands.
Yes, it is. You made more transactions today.
Yeah.
This is upwards of 50 already.
Yeah, Phil's just doing an outstanding job doing everything he can and the guys and personnel helping our football team. And we got great lines of communication, the way we're working through these things. And, you know, our training staff's critically involved, our doctors critically involved in these decisions, because we're the safety of the players is always number one, and so we'll see where out. We'll have some guys out there on Wednesday. They'll be limited. We'll see where they are, and we'll process it through the week and get the best 46 ready to play.
You know, you made a comment today that I highlighted because you didn't have time to explain it, but it sounds pretty simple, but I don't think it is. You said you make every player that's brought in here game ready from a coaching perspective, no matter who they are. But you said you put pressure on them to be assignment ready. How do you do that? What do you mean by the pressure to make them?
Well, I think
force them to make sure they're hitting the books.
You know, there's a lot of different ways to, you know, deal with players. You know, you can create fear and anxiety in them, or you can apply pressure on them. And the pressure is to, you know, to be accountable. And then you have to define what accountability is. And you know, it's a number of things. It's coming every day in a workmanlike way, great effort, enthusiasm, great demeanor. I mean, that's part of being accountable, that you're not a distraction to the team. you know, secondly, is you're responsible for the fundamentals and techniques of your position. But so are the coaches in teaching you. But we put it on the players to that they we have to find a ways as coaches to teach them. But then they have to put it out there. They have to know their assignment. They have to know their alignments. They have to know their adjustments. They're responsible for that, and we have to put pressure on them to make sure that they take care of their responsibilities. And that's coaching. You do it in different ways with different players, and you do it in a productive and dignified way. But they have responsibility, and we have to make sure they understand clearly what it is. And that's what the players want. All the great players I've been around is what's my role, what's my assignment, and help me master my craft. And that's what we as coaches try to do with them each and every day. And you know, we made a commitment this offseason that we were going to make sure that whoever was on a practice field, we were going to get ready to play. And it didn't matter how what time of day it was or how we were going to go about doing it, but we were going to give every player a chance because eventually they're going to be in there playing, and that's exactly what we're seeing here.
Quickly, word on the Dolphins. You haven't had much time, but
you know,
Tannehill comes to mind, and some they try and pressure you. You know, Cameron Wake something.
Yeah, they do. They've got a very good defense. I've looked at them briefly today. I looked at some of their stats. You know, they're holding quarterbacks to 60% completions. They're very physical. They can run. Their corners are up and in your face. There's some bump and run. We'll see some of that. A lot of mixed coverages. And you know, obviously Cameron Wake, their edges, they're fast on the edge. We're going to have to take care of the edges in the pass rush.
All right, Mark, good luck this week.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff.
In your preparation. Mark Trestman.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman. And this hour featuring assistant coaches Sean Desai and Chris Harris. Brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Verizon, Walgreens, and Xfinity. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
Back to throw. They use a stunt. Here comes Randall. They hit Ryan, and the pass is intercepted. Demontre Hurst takes the ball at the 44-yard line of the Bears. The pressure on the inside stunt by Jeremiah Ratliff, and Hurst takes it away.
Rush and cover working together as we welcome in Chris Harris and Sean Desai on the Bears Coaches Show here at the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Hallis Hall. Good evening, fellas. Always fun to talk to you after a victory, and one that really, it's every phase, but the defense really was heard from loud and clear yesterday. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about that play in particular, because in the fourth quarter, you had the lead, so you were able to go, much like Frisco, three fourth quarter sacks yesterday, and I think the DBs love that. You played the game, Chris, at a high level here. You've had a few of those in your day, too. You got to be happy for Demontre.
I'm extremely happy for Hurst, Demontre, and getting his first career NFL start, and within that start, getting his first career interception. So, I mean, that was a big moment for him, so I'm extremely happy for him.
Yeah, he worked hard in the preseason, didn't he? Now, he was on and off the roster, but he really was around the ball a lot in the preseason.
He was. He did some good things last season during the preseason, did some good things this season for us during the preseason, got opportunity. And when you get the opportunity, you got to make the most of it, and he did that Sunday.
Well, I tell you, taking that cue in terms of making the most of your opportunity, and Sean, you work with the linebackers, tip of the cap to Reggie Herring, all the defensive coaches for getting these guys ready to play really on short notice. And how'd you get it done? How did you get these guys ready to go?
Well, it's a credit to, like you said, Coach Herring, Coach Tucker put a good plan together. And the guys, you know, those guys worked hard. They're in here early. They get in here about 6 a.m. and just study on their own. They stay after, and they work hard, and that's what pays off. You work hard. You stay with the plan. You understand the game plan that coaches put together. Mel did a great job calling it. Reggie did a great job preparing them. You just go ahead and execute. Do your job.
Did you do it right up until game time, really?
With you know, the guys do it, and, you know, Mel is great with that. You know, he's not in terms of having anxiety for the players and things like that. He doesn't want to press them. And so they do a great job. And you don't need to press. You know, if you're prepared and you do your work the whole week, you can enjoy game day. And that's the whole philosophy of Coach Trestman and Mel and our defense is just do your job during the week, work hard during the week, and when it comes to game day, just cut it loose.
The Bears Coaches Show with assistant coaches Sean Desai and Chris Harris and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Snap is back to Matt Ryan. Pocket holds, works it on the crosser, incomplete, and all over him is Kyle Fuller defending Julio Jones. And the rookie wins that battle.
And he won a lot of battles yesterday. Kyle Fuller playing lights out. 1 week after completely tying up Kelvin Benjamin of Carolina and Nazi takes out Julio Jones and Roddy White. As a unit, they did. But seven receptions, Chris Harris and Sean Desai on 18 targeted throws from Matt Ryan. You go in hoping that these guys don't blow up, in particular Julio, because he's more than capable and he's done it a lot. But do you anticipate that performance?
You know what? We knew the guys were going to be up and ready to go for this game. You know, you got two of the premier guys in the NFL, and especially with Julio Jones. I think he was leading the league in receptions, leading the league in yards, leading the league with plus 20-yard receptions. All going into that game. So guys hear that, and they hear that, and they hear that, how you guys going to stop them, you know. And I thought they did a pretty good job of being physical. I think being physical early in a game, it has a residual effect as you go through the game. I think we had a lot of drop balls this game.
Lots of drop balls.
Due to the fact that they were physical and very physical early.
You know, and that came from the linebackers because I brought up with Coach Trestman, you know, Sharpton, he was a tone setter. Special teams was a tone setter.
Yep.
But then the Ryan Mundy hit. I mean, that leaves a mark, you know, mentally.
You know,
is that what you're saying? And look at the big smile on his face, Sean, because, you know, he loved hearing that stuff as a player.
That's
and
right.
He was the hitman.
That's
he was
right.
the hitman. I'm just so thrilled. For the second time this season, they picked up that hanky, and it's not a penalty.
Yeah, I was happy that they picked it up. You know, it's tough being a defensive back now in the National Football League because you have to try to cater your game in so many different ways, and it kind of takes that instinct from you. It's kind of like they take it from you at times. You're worried about, how do I hit this guy? How do I get this guy? You know, safety and DB's job is to dislodge a ball carrier, the ball from the ball carrier. And if you have to think about it, it gets tough. So
you used to say that as a player. There was one time late in your career, I don't know, it may have been in your last year here, but you were quite vocal about it.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I know you have to adjust to the rules, and they're trying to make the game safer for everybody. But at the end of the day, it's still football. This is a collision sport, not a contact sport, but a collision sport. And knowing that, you got to try to play within the rules, and you want to keep everybody safe, but it's still a violent sport in nature.
All right, we talked a lot about Sharpton playing so well, but Kasim Green was your tackle leader yesterday with 11. He had four starts a year ago. Clearly, he's growing. He's growing and was a major contributor. Did the three of them, with Christian Jones being only a rookie at 35 snaps the week before, did the three of them work well together? Was it a good chemistry, Sean, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, I think the tape shows that. I think they really worked well together. They communicated well together. You know, that was one of the big things on the road in a loud stadium like the Georgia Dome. You never know how the communication's going to be. And so I think they did a really good job of communicating. Daryl did a great job of controlling the calls and getting defense set up. And the guys got lined up, and then they just trusted their instincts and their training.
In addition to that, the noise was generated, especially in the second half, by Bears fans.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, Chris, you lived it. There have been times when you've been a part of Bears teams and they travel well. I don't want to blow it out of proportion, but I was blown away by the amount of fans and the noise they made. It whenever you're calling a timeout at home because of a road crowd, what a story.
It's awesome. Before the game, we saw the fans there, and a coach made a comment, hey, if we can get this going early, we can turn this into a home game, because we saw the fans there. I recall that in St. Louis, we went to St. Louis back in 06, and I think we went to Arizona back in 06. I remember it was almost like a home crowd. You know, if you get them going early, you can flip that advantage, because Bears fans, they're some of the best in the world. They travel. I mean, they travel. They follow teams. It was almost like college, you know. Mm-hmm. Those fans, they travel. So we definitely appreciate that.
Yeah, you can't count on it, but, you know, it's there for the taking. And I don't remember a time when I saw defensive linemen, you know, in the fourth quarter, raising their hands to bring up the noise, right?
That's right. That's right.
That's just foreign.
Man, it can be intimidating to the home team, too, now. You know, when you get the fans involved, especially in an away game, it's a game changer.
How hard has it been? Or is it, you don't look at it as hard, as more as just, this is what we do. for the roster and the transactions to just multiply every week because of the circumstances?
Hey, it's a part of the job. It's a part of coaching. You have to play the hand that you're dealt. You know, you can't throw cards back in. You know, whatever cards you're dealt, you got to play them, and you got to find a way to make those cards that you have work. And I think it's a testament to our coaching staff. I think we have very good coaches on this coaching staff all around. And you know, whatever you dealt, you get them to play the best that they can play.
You know, it's not a, you know, I don't think hard's the right word. It's teaching. You know, that's what we're doing here. We're coaches, we're teachers, and you're here to teach the guys. And so when whoever you're given, like Chris said, whatever cards you're dealt, you don't have enough time to think about how difficult it is. You got a job to do, which is to teach these guys how to fit within the system and play within our system, and the coaches do a great job of doing that.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman continues exclusively on the home of the Bears, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
And welcome back to the program, everybody, from the Chicago Bears Network studios at Hallis Hall. As we get you ready for the Miami Dolphins visit at Soldier Field on Sunday, Jeff Joniak along with Chris Harris and Sean Desai. A couple of roster moves today. Again, Chris, I'll throw it your way because I've seen him around the building all season long. Cornerback Terrence Mitchell up from the practice squad. What can you tell us about him? Rookie out of Oregon.
Terrence, he's got very good feet. He's a quick twitch guy. I like Terrence. He's a soft-spoken, a very soft-spoken guy, but he's very athletic. He's got very good speed, and he's a smart kid. So that's pretty much Terrence Mitchell.
And then you started getting Shamil Gary ready last week, and then because of the situation at linebacker, he was let go, brought back to the practice squad today. But a safety, what can you tell us about him?
He's a big kid, a big physical kid. He's got good straight line speed, and he's another one that's a smart guy as well. You know, we got him, we're getting him ready last week. He was in with us all week, so he's a guy, he's still learning, rookie, young, but he's got some good tools.
Sean works with the linebackers, but also the special teams unit, so you're meeting a lot of these guys too. Now, Brock Farine led you in special teams tackles yesterday with a couple, so you're both working with Brock. How's he coming along? You got some chances yesterday as well with Conte leaving the game.
I think Brock's making tremendous progress, and you know, Chris works with him a lot more as a safety, but he's just an extremely smart football player. He loves the game. He wants to do it right. He's extremely coachable. He's going to do exactly what you tell him to do and try to do it that way with 100% effort. And so, I mean, you can't ask for any more than that with anybody that you coach.
No, I agree. One thing with Brock, he's very coachable, very coachable. He listens. And he wants to do it right. And he's a guy that you normally don't have to make a correction with him twice. If you correct it one time, he's normally got it.
Where's Chris at? I mean, four times now leaving games because of various situations with his head and shoulders.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Chris was having a very good game this past Sunday before he got dinged up a little bit. So it's kind of been unfair for him, you know, because he's been doing some very positive things, just hadn't been able to stay out there the duration of the game. So, you know, we got to try to get him healthy and get him back up to full speed.
All right, going to let you guys go. Thought I'd get a chance to talk to the Dolphins, but I talked too much. So, Tannehill and company, that's all we need to know, right? Slow down those receivers. They got a pretty good running game.
Yes,
they do. They have a good, very, very solid running game, as Sean said.
So it'll be fun to watch them at Soldier Field. Bears-Dolphins Sunday at Soldier Field, pregame at 9, kickoff at noon. Thanks to everybody, including Coach Trestman, Desai, and Harris. I'm Jeff Joniak. Have a good night, everybody.